Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today is the John 18, the Gospel reading. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The question that immediately jumps out to you when you look at this text is, what kind of king is Jesus? When the high priest Caiaphas accused Jesus through the night, the Sanhedrin convicted him of blasphemy. But when the Jewish authorities then bring him before Pilate the next morning, the conversation shifts. Their best chance with Pilate can't be religious charges, but to frame Jesus as a political rebel, someone trying to claim the throne, because Pilate could care very little for any religious squabbles going on between the Israelites and Jesus. But when they tell him that he claims he is a king and that they only have one king, who is Caesar in Rome, Pilate is kind of stuck. That's the problem, you see. In Rome, there can only be one, and he's self-appointed, claiming deity for himself, the Lord Caesar. And anyone claiming to be a king then is a threat to Caesar and thus an enemy to Rome. It's difficult to imagine that Pilate really took these accusations very seriously. He says in verse 33, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus asked Pilate if he really asking on his own accord or if he'd heard this from others. And his response is simple, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate responds, "Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" At this point, it would have been nice if they would have paraded before Pilate all the people that Jesus had healed. The sick, the lame, the deaf, the dead he had raised. Just bring them before him. Let them testify. Those who had demons cast out. Those who witnessed him walking on water. No, these aren't the witnesses that are before Jesus. None of them are there to testify. And Jesus really isn't in a big issue of explaining what he's done. Jesus explains to Pilate and to us how he is king like no other, with a kingdom like no other. He first explains what his kingdom is not, and then he tells us what his kingdom is. "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus is not an earthly king with an earthly kingdom. He does not need servants or soldiers to fight for him. He's not interested in overthrowing Caesar or Pilate or any other earthly king. That's not how his kingdom works. In fact, their kingdom is because of his good pleasure. He's not interested in his own glory or success or even his life. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But Jesus had told Peter, "Put away your sword." And he had gone willingly to the Sanhedrin and submits to this Roman governor, Pilate. This is all part of the Lord's stages of his humiliation. That which we confess in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, from his conception by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary to his crucifixion. The Creator subjects himself to his creation. This is difficult. It's difficult for the disciples who were waiting for Jesus to overthrow the Roman authorities and set up an earthly kingdom there in Jerusalem in honor of his father David. And it is difficult for us who are waiting for Jesus to fix everything, to fix up our political realm. If only we cast the right vote, find the right politician, then everything will be better. Then there'll be some peace and order and a bit of justice for the oppressed. How nice would that be? Justice, especially for his own people. We would love for Jesus to make life easier with a little more direct political involvement. Or at least that's how we feel, until our flesh begins to be called to repentance by this king, and we cry out like Israel for a different earthly king. Thanks be to God, Jesus is not that kind of king, but that kind of kingdom. Now we know that Jesus governs all things in this world, and specifically we rejoice that he rules all things for the sake of his body, the church. But this rule is hidden. And in this life, it is often hidden under suffering and the cross. We here in the United States are quite spoiled when it comes to confessing our faith. Our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are facing death for worshiping Jesus, and we get upset because they don't say Merry Christmas at the stores anymore. Big difference. Christians are not promised success, prosperity, health, or earthly peace, despite what the prophets of prophets say. Quite the opposite. In this world you will have tribulation. That's what Jesus says. But he adds, take heart, I have overcome the world. When Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, he trains our heart to not look to this world for lasting peace and life, but to set our hearts on his unworldly kingdom, to set our mind on things above, not on things below. Jesus' kingdom is different, without physical borders, without physical soldiers, without armies and weapons, and without race. Because there is only one race, and that is human, created in the image of God. All of us. So without glory, without pomp, what does this kingdom have? Jesus' answer is simple. His kingdom has truth. Right? Pilate responds, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. This is what Jesus' kingdom has. It has truth. This is what his kingdom is. It is truth. Jesus, King Jesus, is truth. Pilate balks. Why, he might as well have been a therapist today, or a politician, or a doctor, or a parent. What is truth? We always ask that question when we're about to do something we know is wrong, and we say, did God really say, like Adam and Eve in the garden? What is truth? But where this pagan governor is filled with scorn, by the grace of God and the gift of faith, we are filled with faith. We know this eternal King. We know His voice, the voice of our Good Shepherd, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. His kingdom is not built on power, but rather on truth. It does not conquer by war, but by proclamation. His sword is not of iron, but of the word, and a word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Which is why when we come into church, we confess that we are poor, miserable sinners immediately. Immediately. Because we need the words of absolution so that we can look to our Lord. When we enter His kingdom, you see, it is not by submission, but by faith. Faith in Jesus, who is the source of all truth. Jesus does not come to conquer us, but to die for us. And for us to die in Him. He does not call us to take up arms and fight for Him, but to go forward to all nations, baptizing and teaching all the things that He has commanded, which is truth. He suffers for us. And in this suffering, He defeats our enemies and forgives our sins. This is how Jesus' kingdom comes. His kingdom comes when the truth of the gospel is proclaimed. His kingdom comes with the promise of the forgiveness of your sins. His kingdom comes when the Holy Spirit presses into our ears and our hearts the undeserved kindness of God, and creating faith and giving life in it eternal. His kingdom come with a smile of the Heavenly Father, with the friendship of the Lord Jesus, and with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. His kingdom comes when we are baptized, when we eat and drink His body and blood, and when the royal proclamation that our sins are pardoned is once again declared. What kind of kingdom is this? The kind who came not to be served, but to serve. To give His life as a ransom. To give His life as a ransom for us and even those who are persecuting Him. This kingdom and this King is not of this world. Jesus is the heavenly King, with a heavenly kingdom, and by the grace of God and the gift of faith, you and I are in that kingdom. We belong to Him, and in this we have peace. In Jesus' precious name, Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.